NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using promo code DKHOOPS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with promo code DKHOOPS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Welcome back. We're just getting started with our NBA offseason coverage, and guess what? Guess what we're talking about? Of course, we're going to be talking about the 2022 NBA draft, and also probably get into some of our favorite all-time draft classes, because I know I have one in my mind burned into my brain. And we're going to be doing all that with TV writer and stand-up comedian Ricky Smith. I'm Miles Gray.
And I'm Jack O'Brien.
And this
you guys don't have like laugh tracks. There's no problem.
No.
That's on you. That's the pressure.
Maybe in post.
Maybe we might try.
Okay, it was like the most like I got excited. It was like Ricky Smith.
we'll put some there. Okay, woo! Yeah. That's a note. Add that. Let's go.
Ricky! Yeah.
And this is Miles
and Jack.
Jack got. Matt
Boosties.
Perfect synchronization. Perfect synchronization. Welcome, perfect. Ricky Smith.
Ricky!
Let's go in the...
Yeah. One of the few Long John Silver's fans that I've ever met. I'm thrilled to hear it. I've been to the Long John Silver's headquarters.
For real?
That was... So,
wow, Ricky's face lit up with that.
I'm dead serious, bro.
Wait, what?
I don't know if it was regional headquarters or if it was the actual national headquarters, but when I won Student of the Month when I was in public school in Lexington, Kentucky, in eighth grade, the prize was you got to go to the Long John Silver's headquarters and like just basically, I felt like they basically like put you through like new employee training at the Long John Silver's. Wow. I was like, all right. So, but it was like my very first taste of like what corporations were.
Did you know at the time that was a highlight of your life?
I thought it was all up from there, and boy was I wrong.
Every city has those like regional field trip places, and I like that yours just sort of like, you know what, we're going to the Long John Silver's HQ.
Yeah,
I'm trying to think what ours is in Cleveland. We have a couple. Well, ours is cool. It's the Rock Hall, but we think it's not cool to be like to go visit the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. It's like, oh, it's a museum.
That's like LA people in the beach.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you going to the beach?
I remember when I first moved to LA, I went to the beach. And people were like, what?
Right.
I'm like, it's sand and water. Like, no. We don't do that. We don't drive convertibles either. No.
Nah, we're not trying to look foolish, but go ahead.
Convertibles, I will say. I've come around to the not driving convertibles of it all.
Wasn't a thing. It's a lot of made fun of. Like, LA is like, you could tell you're out of town or you got budget. or Enterprise rental car if you got the convertible, which I was like...
Convertible with the Utah license plate.
With the, we call them in the Skittle color cars. They have to be like bright blue.
Yeah.
Or just cars you wonder, like, why did you make these? I guess only to sell them to rental car places.
Right, exactly. Because I remember, like, when I was in high school, if you pulled up in a LeBaron convertible, you're like, okay, that's a mark right there. Just hit them with a scam, something. They're from out of town in that LeBaron. And now I feel like it's the Mustang.
Back in the day, it was the Sebring convertible. Like, whoa. Like, it was like a luxury car, but it wasn't.
Right.
Yeah, that changed the game.
Let's see, Mr. Smith, I could put you in a Baja Blast colored Sebring with or without convertible.
The same colors of the out-of-style Steve Harvey 14-button suits.
Yeah.
It's a cross.
Those draft
days. It's a cross of the mustard orange, bright blue. But anyway, sorry to digress you guys on this. We're talking basketball, I guess. Okay.
Like, somebody needs to come with the Steve Harvey suit to a modern NBA draft.
You know where he's from, right?
Where's Steve Harvey from?
Cleveland, Ohio.
Okay, there he is.
Cleveland, Ohio.
Bang, bang.
Arsenio Hall. Drew Carey, we are the king of like the comedians that are funny looking, but also funny.
Right. I couldn't believe. I mean, because we're talking about the draft, and I guess using fashion as a launching off point.
Mm-hmm.
I have never seen a more well dressed, dripped out, iced out group of draftees this season. I was like, wow, are they on their third contract? Because gone are the days like we're talking about the old school tried and true, like Steve Harvey draft day suit.
Well, I mean, full transparency, I don't know how serious you want to get, but maybe it's because they got the NIL. Right.
I was just about to say that NIL money is coming in handy.
They had to hide it before, but now they can be like, yo,
yeah.
This is what we're doing. So, yeah, I miss those days, man. Like, I do miss, like, the Ben Wallace's of the world who
really
wasn't drafted, but, like, the guy just from the country just like, I'm wearing my suit and this is what I'm going to wear. And it's like, even LeBron. I mean, LeBron had the all white with the 15 buttons. He looked like he just came out of heaven. Or
there's a great clip, great little piece of archival footage of David Stern, Commissioner David Stern, during the LeBron draft backstage, I guess it was before the draft, coming back, seeing LeBron in his all white outfit, asking to try the jacket on. Here, let's play it real quick.
Can I borrow that jacket?
Let's see what it looks like. Let's see what you can do with it. Are you styling?
How am I doing? I can do it?
Yeah, I think you can do it.
All right, I'm going to conduct the draft in this.
I mean, if anybody can do it, you can.
All right, a lot of things I love about that. First of all, David Stern looks ridiculous, intentionally so. In the big white jacket, he looks like a kid getting dressed up in their dad's clothes. I also like the last quote from LeBron saying, if anyone can do it, you can. Because it reminds me of the Stern era when it was just like all the players were like, yeah, but you're the boss, man.
Right.
you are incredibly powerful and you're all of our boss, which is kind of like endearing in the modern world. But very cool.
I think this is me, man. And I sound old now, but I think you can't go wrong. You go timeless, because we might be saying that now, but in 20 years, you'd be like, what the hell were they wearing?
Right.
I mean, it's a little weird. It's a little weird. But social media probably too, because the world is so smaller now. So you can go online and see what the styles are.
Yeah.
And that versus like, imagine just showing up in 1970, 81, and you don't know what the number 3 draft pick is wearing. You might be wearing the same thing because you both got it from the mall. You know,
right.
At Chess King, who knows?
Exactly.
Chess King. Shout out to Chess King. I was going to say this might not even be about them getting enough money to do it. It might be about, like, enough stylists getting smart enough and, like, social media and marketing, like, doing that stuff well enough to realize, oh, I'm absolutely dropping the ball if I let this person dress themselves instead of, like, putting my fit on them.
You guys should do this. You should rank the draft class for the clothing. So if LeBron is a 1 in basketball, maybe his clothing was an 8, and then measure it up and reclass to see who like really came with it. And even their progression of style.
Yeah.
I know some people love or hate Westbrook or Wade's outfits, but it's like, did they progress? Was it like a turning point? Like Andre 3000 almost. Like, it was a a woman that inspired it? Was it a championship run? Was it, you know, maybe a flagrant foul? They were like, you know what? I'm about to just start dressing crazy. It's something here, man. It's a cross thing there.
Yeah, there's something to think about, those dimensions of their game on and off the court, for sure.
I mean, we know Dennis Rodman, you know, he did the whole dressed up in the marrying himself with the dress and this and that and stuff like that. So, you know, there's something there. I don't know. I don't think I would listen to that episode, but maybe people would.
You just gave us an assignment and then told us you wouldn't listen to it.
And yeah, if you want to embarrass yourself making that, go ahead. That's your prerogative. I won't listen, though. And I actually, you mind taking my name off this episode?
So my overall philosophy with the draft is nobody knows anything, including me, especially me. So, you know, I get excited about players because I watch the highlights, and then I don't really think about it until the next season when I start hearing their names like pop up and they're like, yo, actually, Anthony Edwards, I know we said that he like was a football player first and wasn't that interested in it, but it turns out he's really good. And the fact that he's a football player is pretty cool. And he's plays unlike anyone you've ever seen. But yeah, I don't know, man. I've been wrong so many times before. I'm not here to like have a hot take.
It's so funny, man. I know you guys, you know, basketball, it's so weird who can do what at the next level at every step. So not even just from college to pro, but even high school to college. And then it's like something just clicks with these guys or this or that, or you know, they find their way or they find their team. It's I always get not super depressed, jokingly depressed, when you realize like if certain guys were drafted in certain teams in certain situations, what would have happened versus, you know, like I said it to myself the other day, literally Anthony Bennett, he was our number one draft pick. And I was like, how does somebody go from like being number one? You know, mind you, it was a weak draft. He came out UNLV, but it was like, if he was drafted 17th, could he been a journeyman? Or it was like, if he was in this position, like you can't, you know, go from number one to out of the NBA. It's weird because it's like scouts or whatever. Even, you know, these guys are ranked so high, then you have some guys who are undrafted. And it's like, you know, look at Draymond. You know, second round, et cetera, et cetera. It's like, you know, if he had a different situation, different, you know, area, this or that, you never know. And it's just, it's sometimes disheartening to me because we throw them as a bus or we, you know, they're people first. I'm friends, I'm sure like you guys, I'm friends with a lot of these players and I see the human side of it. So I'm a fan, but, you know, we boo these guys, but, you know, nobody wants to suck. Like, oh, I want to come out and do 1 point, you know, three rebounds and, you know, five turnovers a game. But it's that human element of like, you never know, you know, teams' needs, or even just think about how to, I thought about this yesterday. Think about how the game has changed. If you were 4 or 5 and you were told to just get on the block and wait till they feed you, and that's literally what your game was. Or, you know, now if you're 7'3", 7'4", you might not even have a spot in the NBA.
Right.
Which is crazy.
They're like, can you dribble like a point guard?
Like, I'm talking about Martin just standing there just with his hands up like, nope, they're going to run pick and rolls. You're going to be out of place. So even that, it's so weird how, you know, basketball and sports have evolved in real time. And it's like people who get stuck by the wayside. I mean, I'm not saying I was a baller. I tapped out in 10th grade, but I'm 6'3". I stopped playing basketball because I was like, I'm not tall enough. Not saying I made it by no means, but it's like 6'3" is not short.
You read the tail of the tape on you in the NBA draft combine. You're like, oh, this doesn't look good for me.
It's like, we don't know why he's here.
I'll tell you guys a very transparent story. I was 6'3" in the 5th grade. And I was like, but my again, I was on the block. So people would come and watch me play. And next year, 6'3". 6th grade, 7th grade, 6'3". 8th grade, 6'3". Right. They're like, well, where's the tall dude? Like, no skill set. I go on the block, but I'm guarding 6'9" guys. But even then, like, you know, the game has changed. AAU ball, I was at the very beginning of it where you had to travel and play year round to kind of, you know, do that. But skill set, if you were big, your coach didn't care. He was like some guy that taught, you know, gym class. And he also taught, like, health. He saw a tall black kid, like, get on the block. They'll feed you the ball, run the court, you know. We're doing a 1-3-1, whether it's for your skill set or not.
Right.
And those are just what you have to do versus these camps, good or bad, that you have to start now in 3rd grade or ranking 5th graders. And they're traveling, you know, year round. And you have to keep up with it. But, yeah, I think about that often. I don't know why. But it's like, you know, how many players would be ballers that even not to take over. Even I was thinking about, like, the second round. You guys saw the draft. Everyone, they're like, oh, it's a stash away pick. Or he's a developed pick. Like, it's like, why do we even have the second round draft? If you're driving these guys not to bring them over for maybe ever, if not, you know, year 3 or year 2. So it's like, I don't know.
Yeah. I ask myself the same question all the time because you see people with such promise. And then, like you're saying, they're people first, right? And the pressure of you know, going to a team as like, you know, a top five pick, and like they're in the middle of a rebuild and all the fans, everybody are putting like all of their emotional energy into you being a fully developed product.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say most people can't handle that.
You're 19 with millions of dollars of fans, and you're going to a city, maybe they boo you because they want this other person, this or that. The veteran don't want you there. The coach might have wanted you, but the GM didn't want you. And like I said, you're 19. Like, you're trying to figure out real life, real time as it is.
Yeah.
It's hard. However, right. As a fan, you better come on because you're on my team now.
Right. Hey, I don't have time to wait. I've been waiting too many years now.
I mean, as a Cavs fan, you were involved in probably the greatest draft moment of all time with LeBron being the number one pick, the hometown hero. You know, the anecdote I always love to tell, because it like drives home something we were talking about before we started recording, that is like, I always talk about how LeBron is underrated because he essentially, for the last 5 years of his not being a professional basketball player, lived in the Truman Show. Like, his hometown had billboards up that were like Nike or Adidas only trying to advertise to him. The whole world was watching him and trying to get his attention as a child. And he came out and became the best or second best player of all time. It is bonkers. It's also wild, like, just to think of like what it must have been like as a Cavs fan when that pick fell in you guys' lap.
Yeah, what was that like?
I mean, me and my dad are best friends. All of our best moments are sports. We lost it. We lost it. Because it was like, my dad's line was like, we finally won. Like, we finally got something. You know, we had the drive, the fumble, we had the shot. You know, we have, you know, Art Modell taking our Browns to Baltimore. You know, we had, you know, the Indians coming, you know, two outs away from winning the World Series. I mean, let's put it in perspective. We hadn't won a championship in 50 years. My dad would always say, I want to win a championship before I die.
And
he was getting up there. So we'd be at, you know, Thanksgiving dinner, like, I mean, in life, you can do whatever you want, right? You can work hard, you can do this, but I can't control my sports teams. I can't. I can cheer as loud as I can. I can wear the paraphernalia. I can go out there, I can root, I can talk smack to you guys, but I can't control what happens on the court. And so for us, it was like, man, like, we got this guy. I get to go and pay my money and see this chosen one who accepted us. It wasn't like, you know, he wasn't like, oh, I don't want to be in Cleveland, or I'm not a, you know, role model, I'm not a hero. Like, nah, he's here, he's repping us. Man, when I tell you guys, it might seem minor to the world, but on a Tuesday night, we had Beyonce coming to games. We had Warren Buffett coming to games. I love my city, man. I'm a Cleveland fanatic, but that's not happening if LeBron's not here.
Right.
Of course, now you're seeing Jay-Z. We have an Usher who, you know, bought Minority Stake. We're having, you know, Nike. I literally got a McDonald's commercial solely because of LeBron. McDonald's is in town. They're meeting this other guy named Ricky, da-da-da. Like, he makes so much money for our city, tourism, all that stuff. And then leave, which, understandably, he did it. We didn't like the way he did it. He'd have to put us on national TV as a Boys and Girls Club and, like, one of the richest cities in America. But then to come back after the letter and the Sanskrit and the written stuff, like, I don't know if I would have come back. You came back just for us.
Yeah.
Chop it out how you want to. He had no reason to come back. He did it. He came solely for the fans of Cleveland. And then succeed on it.
And win one of the greatest, most unlikely titles of all time. Beat the 72 win. Down 3-1.
I have a memory built to this day. Me and my dad embraced. I mean, I was out there with the parade. Tom Brady, maybe what he did with Tampa, maybe. And that's just a short window. But to me, the greatest sports story, I don't care what you say, is that LeBron story. Just the whole, never messed up, his son, his daughter, his wife, like the stuff he did for the city, like the school, the I Promise school he has. He's not doing a hospital in Akron, his hometown. Like, the guy has been flawless. Like, the worst thing we could think of was him getting a Hummer in high school. And for him to get in to do this for a fan base that, realistically, I wouldn't say this again, that we might not ever win another championship. People don't even realize Cleveland's a very small city. We're less than 400,000 people. But we're, you know, we're on the same level. That. No one does. But our names, we shouldn't even have three sports teams. We're right there with Oklahoma and your Tulsas, if you will. But for us to have, you know, the Guardians, Browns, we're always in the news.
Yeah.
For us to be this small, and everyone knows somebody from Cleveland or in Cleveland, we're good people because we have to be, because we're so small. But like NBA All-Star, you know, we had the finals and we had you know, Charles Barkley in town. These people come to town and we're the spotlight because of one man. Let's be honest. So anybody hating on him is a little bit of racism to it, but we love him more than anything in the world. He could run for mayor, governor of Cleveland, if you will. And we have nothing but love. And I mean, even then, I'm a Jordan guy. I'm old school. I hate that you have to, in society, if you think one is better than the other, you have to knock somebody down.
Think of it as a table, you know? No, they got a seat at that table. That's
all. Right. But if it's four at the table, that fifth, you're like,
Like, wait, hold on. Who's this new one?
Because, I mean, again, I go back and forth personally with LeBron and Jordan because Jordan, to me, is all-time great. Like, he's the greatest. But then I say, what is Jordan doing in year 17?
Yeah.
But then the hand checking, I like to believe that LeBron is the most talented physical. Like, his body is just, he was a man amongst kids, you know, even in the pros. But Jordan's just his will and his drive, if you will. And then I get mad because I don't put Kobe on my list of four. Right. Kobe's a piece.
Yeah.
But then I'm not, and I don't want to go old school, like, I'm about to be blasphemous, an old school basketball player. I don't go old school, like, Will Chamberlain, who's playing against, like, guys who were smoking cigarettes at halftime. So I feel like the league is a little different now.
Right, like, for sure.
All right, well, we're going to, let's hold the thought on Kobe, because we're going to talk about all-time best draft class in the modern era. And super producer Jabari sent around this clip, David Stern going down the line, shaking everybody's hand at the 96 draft. Wow.
Like, it's wild to look at all the hands he's shaking. Like, wow, that was in one. Okay, we'll talk about it.
So we'll talk about that when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using promo code DKHOOPS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with promo code DKHOOPS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
And we're back. And we got two clips we want to hit. But before we get to it, you mentioned the shot, Ricky.
Mm-hmm. I was there.
So this is the Jordan shot.
Yep.
Jumps up because of the camera angle. It looks like he kicked Craig Elo in the face. But just one of the all-time great playoff buzzer beaters.
First time I only heard, and only time I ever heard my dad swear.
Wow.
And he actually said, I'll be damned.
Wow.
We're good.
That's a really great, close. That is the right thing to say to that, too.
We're close family friends with Brad Sellers, who did the inbounds throw. If you notice, Brad Sellers, he's from Cleveland, and Charles Oakley was also on that team from Cleveland. So it was like, you got to hear Brad tell the whole story about the timeout and, you know, Phil Collins, I believe at the time, not Phil, Doug Collins, do this great, you know, play they said. And it was like, yeah, whatever. Jordan was like, just give me the ball. Like, that's all great. Just find me. I'll get the ball.
I'm going to run up to the ball. You're going to throw me the ball. And then I'm going to find a way to put it in the basket.
They said, actually, Larry Nance slipped. He admitted later on in life that it was actually his coverage. And Elo actually was trying to save him. But we've known now as Elo to be the one that, you know, he scored over him. If you look, Larry Nance kind of like stumbles. But, I mean, Magic Johnson had deemed us the team of the 90s. And, you know, I was a huge Ron Harper fan. Like, Hart was like our guy. He was our Jordan guy, you know, at the time. We're friends with Hart too now. But like, we traded him for Danny Ferry, and it was like, what are we doing to the, you know, the Clippers? It just got weird. And we went through this whole weird thing. But Jordan and Harper, like, for us, you know, Jordan was just, looking back, I sound crazy, but at the time, Jordan and Harper were like, they was kind of there. Like, Harper was like, he could score. He was a wing. We had Mark Price, Larry Nance, Brad Doherty. We had a solid team. Like, with Lenny Wilkins as coach, like, it was right there. It was like, we were going to be the team in the 90s. And Bulls wasn't that great of a team at the time. Like, we were supposed to battle, you know, for years. And then after that, Harper gets traded, and we end up getting Gerald Wilkins.
Wow. Hey, shout out to the Wilkins family. I mean,
this is true.
Yeah. Now the cookie crumbles.
All right, let's talk best draft classes in the modern era. I think a lot of people just go 84 because that's the year MJ went number three. Hakeem went number one.
Shout out to Sam Bowie.
Yeah.
Sam Bowie went number two to the Portland Trailblazers, who my grandfather was coaching at the time. So that's a tough one for the old legacy. Barkley, Stockton. Like, it's pretty hard to argue with that Mount Rushmore, right? But then super producer Jabari sent us this clip of David Stern going down, shaking everybody's hand after they got drafted in 96. And it's bonkers, man. Let's play it. Okay, shaking Kobe's hand, Steve Nash's hand. Is that Ray Allen?
Yeah.
Jesus.
David Stern. How are you? Pronounce it for me.
Peja Stojakovic.
I've been practicing it all day. Stojakovic. Okay. David
Stern. Junkyard Dog. Walter McCarty. Who I love.
Look at Marcus Camby looking like a little baby.
Passes over Marcus Camby to shake Antoine Walker's hand.
See, Kerry Kittles.
Kerry Kittles.
Kittles. Wow.
He said, Allen Iverson,
Allen
nice
Iverson
to meet you.
And Stephon Marbury.
He said, nice to meet. It's like wild when you go, I'm going to talk. He said, Twan, Kerry, AI. And then who was the last one?
Stephon Marbury.
Stephon Marbury.
Who was, like, for those first handful of years, was one of the most exciting players in the league.
So this is my question. Okay, so we'll put a pin in that class because that's, like you were saying earlier, that iconic slam cover.
Yeah.
But just to get through some of the other classes and just kind of think of what, if anyone has an edge, 98, Dirk, Paul Pierce, Vince Carter, Mike Bibby, okay, 2009, Steph, James Harden, Blake Griffin, okay, 2011, Jimmy Butler, Kawhi, Kyrie, Clay, 1985, Karl Malone, Patrick Ewing, Detlef Schrempf, Joe Dumars.
It's 84 and 96.
What about 03?
Yeah, you know, I guess I don't know why we're throwing shade on that class.
Yeah, I was like, what about 03? Like, no.
Because we got Braun. Was that Dark? Was Darko number two that
year?
Darko was number two.
Then Mello. Bosch, D Wade, Chris Kaman, Kirk Heinrich, TJ Ford. Okay, that was 2003. But I guess when you put those clumps together, I mean, like, because you have LeBron in there and like Melo and D Wade and stuff, I definitely feel the weight of that. But I'm wondering if now this could be a generational bias that because of my age, I am like more moved at the sight of that 96 draft class, because that was like when I watched all those guys in college too. And like, I wore one sock up and one down like Kerry Kittles at Villanova because I thought that was like the dopest look.
Of the one guy to mock out of that draft. That's who you went with.
Yeah. Of all the people. See, and that's what's funny about a draft, right? I'm like, that's my man, Kerry Kittles from Villanova right there.
I mean, it's hard to argue that because I was going to make an argument. I just shot myself down mentally because I was going to say from top to bottom. I was going to try to argue 03 versus that one just to be, you know, argumentative, but I was like, Kobe's there. So,
yeah Kobe's there and AI. Is
and
there.
AI.
Like, yeah, I was like,
And Steve Nash, who won a bunch of MVPs.
Let me just
and break Ray that.
But, okay, my 03, though, except for Darko, the first five picks are Hall of Famers. Can you say that about the 96?
No.
No?
Yeah. It's definitely like, you know, Kobe being in the teens, right? Like, didn't he get picked pretty late?
And then 12th and 13th, I'm reading right now at the bottom of the screen. So, but I'm saying, like, take out Darko, which, if you remember Detroit at the time, they either won a championship or they didn't have a spot. Like, even they couldn't have drafted, like, I mean, naturally you wanted Melo, but, like, they didn't have room for him because that's when they had, like, the five great starters who were all good but not, well, great. But you know what I mean? Like, yeah, because Tayshaun was there. So, like, that's what I'm saying. I'm just, and I agree with you, 96, I'm just being, you know, argumentative to be it.
Of
but
course, of
to
course.
Me, that 03, if you're going LeBron Hall of Fame, then Melo Hall of Fame, then Bosch Hall of Fame, and Wade Hall of Fame, that's almost a surefire, like, who was six?
Our man Chris Kaman. You know, don't give him his flowers, too.
With the hair.
Yeah. The bald king. Balding king. I know. I was like, you know.
I was hoping like some random, like.
Okay, and no shade to my bald king, but, you know, that changes things a little bit. I mean, then Kirk Heinrich was right after that.
Mm. Kirk Heinrich.
96 it is.
Nash was 15th. Nash was picked 15th. So that's the thing about that 96 class. And I still think, like, if you're just, I don't know. It's tough. It's like totally like how you're going to rate it. But like 84 is tough to beat because MJ and Hakeem are like defined the next 10 years and won all the titles for the 90s, essentially, right?
Yeah. I think it just comes down to, like, again, more than like trying to rate these people on what they've done. For me, I think I'm looking at these draft classes based purely off nostalgia and like the thing that I liked about it. Like you're saying, for me, Kerry Kittles at Villanova that year completely ruined my brain. And like my mom was like, why are you only wearing one long sock to your basketball game?
Yeah. I mean, I'm a little older. So for me, to that point, like that Shaq draft with him, Alonzo, Christian Laettner, I forgot who else was in that draft. Like for me, I'd never seen somebody like Shaq before. Like it is sad now that kids don't realize like how agile and stuff he was. Like he was breaking billboards and like, you know, it was like. His first couple years was crazy, but even like Alonzo coming in with defensive, like you got to realize, even like Christian Laettner being what he was, but three big man drafted, boom, 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 like,
yeah,
that's wild. But that for me, that would have been nostalgia, like Orlando Magic had the new logo, like it was crazy.
Oh yeah, and that was a time when like every mall in America had one loose Shaq shoe in it.
Yep,
they're like, hey, you see that guy Shaq's foot? They got one of his shoes at Field of Dreams Sports Memorabilia Store,
Shaq size 23. It was crazy. It was crazy. So for me, that
and friend of the show Robert Horry, that's his draft class too.
Yeah. So that was all of those. But then again, I mean, not to sound like get off my lawn guy, but to me, those guys were ready. Those guys are ready now. Even that 96 class you said, those guys are ready. They would step in and they're super, superstars. You know, 5, 6, 7, 10 people, you know, were coming in and doing their thing straight from college. Now it's, you know, you have a guy that might have to sit a year. He's trying to figure it out. He, you know, he's development, or you're waiting for him to mature or whatever, if you will. So, yeah, I don't know.
Let's talk about best draft day fits of all time, because I do agree, like top to bottom, we're dealing with a new era now where like everybody is styled. Everybody looks really good.
Yeah.
But going back through, I just found this NBC Sports article. But before I get to their top 10, I'd be interested in hearing the ones that jump out to you. I think we've already talked about LeBron and his all white. The cut can only be described as draft suit, I think, is like the only thing you can call that. Because it's like really high. The buttons all the way up, probably conservatively 13 buttons on the front of the jacket, but all white was a phenomenal look.
You know, your buttons should be lower than your pockets on your jacket.
Right.
Like, I think that's a new standard now that we should keep forever. Yeah. But I mean, you gotta realize too, back then, I mean, probably even now, but like then, like a lot of those guys probably never wore suits before. So this was like, you know, this is a big deal. I know LeBron had it at the time. I want to say we knew the person that actually styled them in Cleveland.
Yeah, but I mean, this is 03. Like, this is players ball type suits. That was the height of formal fashion for these guys, too. Yeah. It's like, you got now and later Gators on. You got this. Gators. You got a preacher suit on. Now you look good. So I feel like this was maybe, like, the last time we even just saw, like, I don't know, like before we started crossing into the era of like really hyper focused outfits and styles and like, you know, maybe the bowls of our world.
I'm trying to think of one that comes to mind. Was it Jermaine O'Neal? Somebody like was from like the South, and their suit was just like, Was it? Oh, it might have been. Oh, I don't want to say his name. Never mind. It was, you know who? Wizards. I love this suit. It was amazing. Trying to find it now. I can buy one, mommy. Love your suit.
I love this looking like a out of work cult leader.
with nobody in this cult. Just
right. The cult of I. You got a favorite? I feel like in looking through that article, my memory was jogged, and I actually remember exactly what my favorite is now.
So Samaki Walker in 96 came with like one of the great, just all cream, everything, but with a top hat that really like pulled the whole thing together, made him look like, you know, set him apart, not from like that draft class, but from the history of draft classes. And also like looked like he could be like a movie character of some sort, like just with the hat. Like,
you know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of that LA Times magazine shoot Kobe did when he wore the hat.
Yes, yes, yes.
The white hat with the headband and the bow tie. That's like almost energetically what I'm looking at.
I actually have mine. It's actually a friend of mine, which we've never addressed this, but Drew Gooden.
Okay.
If you Google it, he has this whole, it's the buttons, you can't see him. Is what's the movie with the mini me? It's the
Dr. Powers.
Evil. Oh, yes, you got the Dr. Yes. Evil joint on.
Yep.
Wow.
Yep. I'm going Drew. With the top, is doing something weird. It's like a lab coat. It's a lab coat with a tie and it's
okay. Yeah. So let's just describe this. So Drew Gooden came with like, you know, a baggy suit, but the jacket is just straight. Like it goes all the way up to
no lapel.
To his neck.
There's no lapel.
No lapel, straight up to the neck. I mean, you did a great job. Just describe it as Dr. Evil, but the buttons are hidden. It is such a strong choice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at this.
You committed.
Yeah. And that's what I think that's what's fun about that era is because then they were just having to like do their twist on the suit.
Yeah.
You know, now people got like, oh, I'm wearing a silk bomber jacket. I'm wearing spiky loafers and this other thing. So in a way, I kind of give it up to these older cats because they were dealing with a limited palette and really trying to find individualism through this very rigid form of the suit. And when you break through, I mean, Mr. Good in that suit, it really is.
They were working within a genre. It's like now everybody looks great. Like that. So this list has, you know, Jalen Green last year is probably the biggest choice because he was wearing bell bottoms. And like it looks good and also does not like it is a choice. It's like, wow.
So I got one more. You got to Google it. But Bonzi Wells, he is literally wearing a maternity suit. Looks like. I count no less than 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 buttons. The jacket Bondi. Actually goes down to his knees. It looks like
he's like stealing like a folding table from the draft and taking it home with him underneath his suit. Like,
you know,
so
you know what he looks like? You know those Scooby Doo when they like put Shag and everybody in the suit?
It looks like three kids on top of. He also has a boyish face, so it really looks like three kids on top of each other in a suit.
One pack of cigarettes, sir. What?
Oh, no.
Come on, it's six kids in a big old draft day suit.
I might buy one of these for Halloween. I've got my
So I graduated high school in 03. So my prom suit looked like a draft day suit.
Wow.
And I have a lavender 5-button suit that I've worn for a special when we were doing a look back in the year 2002 or three. But
did you always want to be a pimp or is that just a phase?
You know, that was just the era at the time. You know, it's all about Jacob watches and wearing a preacher suit. And, you know, I understood the assignment in 2003.
No, you're right. Everything was, you know, 3 times, 4 times too big, but even the suits. But, you know, I'm glad these guys have evolved, most of them. I think Jordan is still stuck in these time periods, which I've always, if you ever get a laugh set, just, you know, there's websites dedicated to Jordan fashion.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, you mean like current?
Like what's he wearing today?
Yeah.
I'm sure they were. Yeah. The very famous are frozen in amber at the peak of their fame. And it's It's
my sister has this thing that it's been pretty tried and true. Her thing is whenever you stop with your highest level of education, that's usually where your fashion or dance moves are at their peak.
Mm, that makes sense.
So you can learn newer stuff or evolve.
Right.
That's like if you were a cargo short guy out of that's high school and you only did high school and you were, you know, lean with it, rock with it.
Yeah.
When that sun comes on, that's your bag. That's usually right. Where you were.
I think we can all agree. I don't know. You tell me. I think the move for next year's draft class is somebody comes with the homage to the old school draft.
Yeah.
Suits. Like really, like the Drew Gooden, the Bonzi Wells, like something that level would be so dope. And also like almost comically oversized stuff is back in. So like,
yeah,
let's do it.
I mean, yeah, people do wear like kind of big, like dudes are wearing like shoulder pads in their suits and like high fashion magazines too. So I feel like all trends, this one might come back around like organically, right? Where people be like, wow, we love that homage to Melo's, you know, draft suit. And they're like, what? Who?
They're like, oh, you no, can tell just, I'm wearing shoulder pads right
this
now.
This the look.
He's got a ball out though that first year, whoever he is.
Yeah. That's a statement. That's definitely a statement suit.
All right. Let's take a quick break. We'll come back. We'll do rapid fire.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using promo code DKHOOPS and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with promo code DKHOOPS. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 and over in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
And we're back, and you know what time it is. It's time to play one of our favorite games. It's time for the rapid fire questions segment. Now, Ricky,
hold on to your butts.
This is a rapid fire round of questions. We're going to ask you a question. Don't even think, because we try and keep the pace of this thing moving. So,
all right,
without a question, you react, and then we're going to keep it moving. No expanding on your answers. We're going to just start the clock.
Pew!
Round one. Fight.
Boom. Let's go. Funniest moment you've ever seen on an NBA court.
Ricky Davis shooting at the wrong basket.
Hey, we've all been there. Yeah. All right. Like, it's hard to keep track.
Jack, come on, man. This is rapid. All right. Next question. Here we go. Ricky, if you could add or change one rule about the NBA, what would it be?
It would be that players shouldn't be able to foul out.
Okay.
Basketball is the only sport where, like, you get, like, you're out of a game just for doing something that is still within the game. So, like, especially if it's overtime. Like, if you have a 6 foul, they should let you come back unless everybody gets one more foul. But just because of foul like trouble, it doesn't make sense that, like, that affects the game just because of whatever. Or maybe, like, you know, after your 6 foul, the other team gets 4 free throws in the ball. Something that's still, like, pitches out just hacking people, but it still makes it so, you know, your best player
is going to,
like, three overtime game, and you're left with, like, you know, somebody looks like me on the bench with the guy at the scores table doesn't know who I am.
Right, right, yeah. Right. They call him venue security. Be like, I think this guy's trying to storm the court.
Do this, do this. Muggsy Bogues' son just got in the game.
I think, you know, since we're keeping it rapid, I would really love to see like a Rock and Jock, like 50-point basket, you know, like how Rick Mahorn used to score on that thing.
I was going
to
say that, but the way the game's evolved with Curry, he just be hitting 5 points.
But wouldn't that be wild if we saw 732-80? I would be like, yo, they're going wild in Vegas right now with this line. Like,
oh, Vegas would be crazy, man.
They people would live and die by that. They're like, the 50 point basket's coming down. Oh, anyway. Rapid. I'm sorry, Jack. Rapid.
Yeah. I was just gonna say though, that's a rapid question, so fast, so clean that I think it's gonna be a keeper. Like, I don't think you should have to dribble, but all right. Let's move on to you can put together your fantasy 3-point shooting competition. Who are your 4 shooters?
All time or current?
Current.
Mine would be Curry. You know what? No. I'm a comedian. Sorry, I was getting serious.
Come on, Ricky, rapid, man.
Yeah, okay. It would be like I don't know, like just 4 centers, like 4 centers, like 7-3 guys, Gobert. Like, let's just see them, like, just try to get out there. I mean, I know my man from Minnesota Towns just kind of messed it up, but let's see some people who can't shoot.
Yeah. Right.
Let's laugh at them.
Okay, and then all time. What if it was all time 3-point competition?
Bird, 4 Curry, Reggie Miller, and I would go Ray Allen.
Yeah.
Okay. Boom.
Three beautiful shots in that group. And then Reggie Miller would be a very effective shot.
Oh, I forgot Mark Price though off the pick. Ah, he was so nasty with it.
Yeah, you can put him in there. Yeah, we'll give him a spot.
See what I said? Somebody has to come off the table.
Yeah, it's always hard. Oh, sorry. Rapid. Ricky, who is the next face of the league for the next 5 seasons in your estimation?
Ooh, Ja. If he stays in Memphis, that's tough. And I think LeBron kind of opened up the way, and then, you know, Durant at OKC, that you don't have to be in a big market, but it sure does help. Right. You know, Memphis is Memphis. And I like Memphis as a city, but it's, you know, you need a little bit more visibility. Jordan Poole could be that guy.
Wow.
He could be that guy. He has Curry like in him. He's learning. He's more athletic. Again, I don't know if the current team would, you know, he could be that guy, but in 4 or 5 years, you know, what better way to learn from greatest shooters of all time. Like, you can't deny that he's gotten better from being around those guys. You know, the contract situation, I don't know what it is, but 3, 4, 5 years, he can lead a team.
And this is unfortunately the first time that we've ever had a rapid fire question with the wrong answer, but you didn't get that one right. It is Miles and Jack.
Yeah,
our logo of us looking cool while having Matt Boosties. Those are the faces of the NBA for the next 5 years. Ricky Smith, you have made it through the lightning round.
It was more like it was more like flicker, but we got through it.
It was lightning.
Yeah, man, it was amazing having you. Where can people find you, follow you, all that good stuff?
Just online, Rick Onya. I'm around. I'm a ghost. I have a nonprofit, Random Acts of Kindness, everywhere. I'm actually starting a tour in September where I do 50 cities in 30 days, simply spreading kindness. I let my followers and fans and friends tell me where to go and what to do. I travel with nothing but a cell phone ID, just spreading kindness. So it gets aggressive and fun, but But other than that, so cool, man, I appreciate you guys. This is fun. I love to talk sports. I love basketball. It's just so fun to have people who understand the fun of the players and not just, you know, my team is this or this guy sucks.
Yeah.
Cool thing, what I just did with you guys, and I know I jump off, but it's like, I hate the whole salaries and contract situations of sports.
Yeah.
I hate that fan of like, oh, he makes this or he makes more than this.
And that's why this means more about, we want to be wowed.
I was working with a trade machine earlier, and I actually worked out a trade that's never going to happen. It involves 6 teams and 43 players. It's like, all right, man.
He played so much better before his contract was up. And who cares? Like, let these guys make money. So I appreciate you guys. I've listened to a couple before, and just that fan experience, it doesn't have to factor in. And you listen to these, you know, these new age sports guys, and they're contract driven. So, you know, it's just fun to get back to the skills of it. And just like we said, they're trying to do the best they could do. And everybody wants to win, and nobody wants to get out there and, you know, suck it up, if you will.
All right. Well, all right. Ricky Smith, amazing having you.
Yeah. Thanks so much.
Well, it's amazing to be had. I don't know if that sounded weird or not, but Have me anytime again.
All right.
Yeah, we'd love to.
Lock it in.
Weird. Okay, I'm just going to back away from the phone and hang up.
All right, man.
Bye, guys.
Cool. All right. That's been another episode of
Miles
and Jack.
Jack
got
mad.
Boosties.
See you next week.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's gotta be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Are you on the hunt for a new home this spring, but don't know where to start? Fisher Homes is your solution. Your new home should reflect you from the front door to the kitchen and even your outdoor space. Start your journey by selecting your ideal home site, like in a cul-de-sac or that's tree-lined, and then choose from a variety of expertly designed floor plans. Bring it all together at our Lifestyle Design Center. Let Fisher Homes be your new home solution this spring and start making memories at fisherhomes.com.